when a parent asks their child that, one of the two things will happen. Either the child will be perplexed and go, no, why would I think that? Yeah. Like, no.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It does not put the idea into their head. Mm-hmm. Or the other thing that will happen is that child will feel like they're known.
Mm. Hey, everyone. We are here with another Family Care Learning podcast. For those listening or viewing, just a quick heads up. We're talking about a little bit of a mature subject today on suicide. And so if you have little ones, just want to caution you about the mature theme that we have going today. Today I have with me one of our clinical services supervisors, Jenny Delcor. And Jenny has provided a ton of trainings for Family Care Learning and Christian Family Care. And this is actually one of the trainings that we're really excited about because it is such a prevalent topic right now. And so Jenny, would you talk a little bit about how did this course come to being? Why this course? What do you see going on?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think it's something of the times that we live in today. Yeah. You know, you can't scroll on Facebook or social media or turn on the news without hearing about suicide.
Yeah.
And hearing about what an epidemic it's become for our children and our teenagers, our youth today.
Yeah.
I think it's so common and parents are scared.
Yeah.
Parents are terrified. They don't know what to do to help their children. They don't know how to tell if their children are even in trouble or struggling.
Yeah.
And they're calling us. They're calling mental health providers. And they want the information. They want to know how to protect and care for their children. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're here to do. We're here to provide that information so parents can feel confident.
Yeah. And it seems like, right, we've had so many inquiries from parents seeking counseling services or churches or other organizations, even secular business organizations are going, man, my employees are struggling with this, right? Or my employees' children are struggling with this. And so how prevalent is suicide with children and teens?
Yeah, I think this is our post-COVID reality, right? Is that the suicide rates have increased. Even as of 2021, so these stats are maybe a little bit old at this point, but it's the most recent that we have. As of 2021, suicide was the second leading cause of death for adolescents in our country, number two. So it is definitely something that we need to wrestle with and we need to address and have courage to face. This is a growing problem for our teenagers and our children even.
Yeah. And so when I think about suicide, right, we think of obviously the worst part of suicide, right? Like someone actually completing suicide, attempting suicide. But this is also even the, just thinking about it, mm-hmm. which is, we're talking about, you're saying this is the second leading cause of death.
Yes.
Just think about how many more of our youth, our children, our teens are thinking about that. And so can you just give me maybe a brief kind of understanding of, so for those that are struggling of any kind of range of suicide behaviors, what might be some risk factors that would influence them to have those types of behaviors?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes these behaviors and these thoughts and suicidal thoughts and desires kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Most of the time, though, you can look at the situation and look at the child's history and say, okay, well, there's some risk factors here that made this child more vulnerable to having these thoughts and then, later acting on them.
Okay.
So some of the things that we look at is there a history of mental illness in the child and in the family? We look at that as well. Is there a history of trauma? Has this child had times of neglect or physical abuse, sexual abuse? Separation from parents, that's a big risk factor as well, is if the child's been separated through, removal due to child abuse allegations. So that's going to be sometimes a big risk factor as well.
Yeah.
And then, does the child have social supports? Do they have good peer relationships?
Yeah.
That, and when kids don't, especially if they're experiencing any bullying, if they're being bullied at school, that is a huge risk factor for suicidality. So that's a problem too. If they're doing substances, if they're doing drugs or if they're drinking, that can be a risk factor as well. Kids who have a lot of impulsivity, when they have some of these other risk factors or even some thoughts of wanting to die by suicide, and then you add impulsivity into it,
That's a bad combination.
It is a bad combination. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Because then they can have the thought and no way to stop themselves from doing the action.
Okay.
Because they're so impulsive.
Okay.
And sometimes kids are just impulsive because they're kids, because they're young.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have, you know, other mental health disorders like ADHD or just a, you know, their prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of the brain. Right. Is just not quite as developed for whatever reason. And so they have this impulsivity that doesn't allow them to stop and think about the action before they harm themselves.
Yeah.
So that's another one. Even things that we don't necessarily always think about, but like chronic illness, poverty. Poverty, even looking at these like bigger scale issues, toxic stress in the home.
Yeah.
You have families that have just severe stress or sometimes poverty influences, of course, but fighting, a lot of fighting in the home, abuse or neglect in the home that creates just this toxic stress environment. That can be part of it too. When you have kids who have been exposed to other people's suicide or their suicidal behavior. Suicide is, we call it a social contagion. It's contagious. It's contagious. So when you have kids who are maybe watching things on television programs or on the news or social media, sometimes it's handled well and it's not going to be contagious.
Yeah.
But sometimes these outlets are really glorifying suicide, and that can also be a risk factor for other kids who are, or teens who are watching this and seeing suicide as like a valid way out of a problem.
Yeah. So it seems like, right, like there are so many risk factors. And it's like,
there's more that we can't even get into in this time frame.
And, and I almost kind of take it as, right, like that, these are risk factors, but it doesn't mean because you are impulsive or because you are exposed that you will be, but so it's not like it's going to cause it, but just to kind of look out for that, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's risk factors, but there's also protective factors as well.
All right.
And so even though we have kids with some of these risk factors that can't be avoided, because some of our kids in foster care, kids have been adopted from foster care, we can't avoid all of these risks, right?
Yeah.
But there's protective factors that parents absolutely can influence. They can have such great impact in having a good prognosis and having a good outcome instead of being just, you know, another statistic in Arizona. So, you know, when you have a parent who cares about their kid and is invested in their life and is seeking help, that's going to be a protective factor. So every time a parent calls us to reach out for help, I think, oh, okay, this is already is a good sign,
protective.
This is a protective factor. When that child has adequate social supports, when they have friends, when they the family as a whole has a support system, they have these natural supports, they have friends, they have relatives, they have, maybe it's their church or other clubs or communities that they can really be a part of. That's such a great protective factor. Schools can be a protective factor. When you have thriving schools, kids tend to do better and their suicide rates tend to go down.
Okay.
And when parents are actively involved in their kids' school, kids do better.
Wow.
And that's a protective factor as well. So there's quite a few protective factors.
It seems like it, even kind of boiling, there's a lot of relationships, right? From peer and social relationships to familial relationships, and then even just as you're talking about the community. And so for those of you that are interested or like to dive that a little bit more, please check out the training that we have online about that. But before we close, so let's say someone is watching this right now and they're going, there's a lot of risk factors. Maybe I'm hearing some hints of like suicide behaviors or thoughts from my children. Or my teen, what might be some of those like common suggestions of like do's or don'ts that we could kind of like help our listeners tune into a little bit?
Yeah, so I think the most important do is to make sure that as parents that we stay very calm and regulated. If we are hysterical, if we give in to our own fear, because I know we love these kids so much and we want to protect them, and we can just be consumed with our own fear.
Yeah.
We're unable to help them. They're not going to trust us to give us all this big stuff going on in their life. They're going to think if they tell us what's going on that we won't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
So we have to stay very calm and regulated. We have to be the bigger, safer person in the presence in this room. And then we have to just listen to them. Listen to what they're saying. Take a breath and listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And believe them. Mm. Sometimes this is one of the don'ts. Sometimes parents fall into a trap of thinking maybe they're just trying to get attention.
Mm.
And maybe they are, maybe because people need attention.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Kids need attention. It is a human need to have attention. And if for whatever reason they feel like they're not getting it, that might be a way they get it. They need attention.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that that's also a risk factor. When you have a history of suicidal thoughts, or we call ideation.
Yeah.
That's, you're at increased risk of actually completing a suicide.
Okay.
So if you have a child who's talking about suicide, who's talking about wanting to die, believe them.
Believe them. Yeah.
Believe them.
Yeah.
And get the help that that child needs.
And I think a lot of times, just as you're saying that, even well-intentioned parents can kind of go, you mentioned like the contagion piece, right? Where it's like, like, I don't want this to be something that is caught by my child. Yeah. And so any hints of that, I'm going to quickly dismiss, or I'm going to try to turn around into something positive. Yeah. But it sounds like maybe that's not the most helpful thing to do if you hear your
child. Yeah, that's a myth. That is a myth that if we directly ask someone, are you wanting to die? Do you have thoughts about wanting to kill yourself?
Yeah.
People think that that will put those thoughts into their head. And it's the opposite, actually. Yeah. Just factually looking at it, it is the opposite.
Yeah.
When a parent asks their child that, one of the two things will happen. Either the child will be perplexed and go, no, why would I think that? Yeah. Like, no.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It does not put the idea into their head. Mm-hmm. Or the other thing that will happen is that child will feel like they're known.
Mm.
They'll know that there is a parent there who gets it.
Yeah.
Who sees that they're struggling so much.
Yeah.
They're struggling so much that maybe they couldn't put words to it.
Mm.
But that was the feeling. That was the thought. They just couldn't say it out loud to their parent. And now their parent said it out loud. And that gives the child permission to say, yes, I'm feeling those things. I'm thinking those thoughts.
Yeah. The word, just as you're talking through that, the word that comes to mind is kind of just this strength and courage, right? That I find that so often youth, the thought that they might have is like, my parents aren't strong enough to handle what I'm thinking or feeling. It's just too heavy. But by a parent kind of conveying courage of, I'm willing to walk right in that with you, and I'm going to be okay to do that.
Yes.
I think is right. It gives them that sense of, you said, like, seen or like this understood.
Yeah. Like, you get it. You know that I'm dealing with this. You see that I am struggling.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be hidden anymore.
And so Jenny, if our parents are looking, watching this, and then they're going and they're asking the hard question, and a child is struggling, what might be some just kind of next step recommendations to help them?
Next step is, you know, number one, you want to make sure that your child's safe.
Yeah.
And so certainly if you have a child saying that they want to die by suicide, you want to make sure that you don't have any anything that they can use to do that, to make that happen in the home.
Yeah.
So that would mean, you know, making sure you lock up knives. If you have firearms in the home, highly recommend that you get them out of the home.
Yeah,
get them out.
Right,
there are gun lockers that you can rent out and shooting ranges. You can ask family friends who own guns, maybe if they could keep your guns in their safe. But get the guns out of the home. No matter how well you have them stored, there is always going to be a higher risk.
Mm.
And when someone tries to die by suicide using a gun, they're usually effective.
Yeah.
And when they use other means, there's a lot that medicine and doctors and hospitals can do to bring them back and not allow the suicide to be completed.
Yeah.
Guns, it's a little different. They usually do end in death.
Okay.
So I would keep them safe. So we get weapons out of the home, lock up medication, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then next step would be call to get some help. Get a professional on board.
Mm.
So if you think that your child is in immediate danger, you may want to call crisis line. You may want to call 988 or text 988. That's a suicide hotline. Yeah. That's just easy to remember, 988. You can call your child's pediatrician right away. You can call a mental health professional, a counselor, social worker to get some guidance as well. You can also take your child into an emergency room if they are just not safe. If they are just adamant that they want to die, then that would be an emergency room visit.
Great. Yeah. And they're there to help in that way. I think a lot of times we think, oh, it's only for like medical needs, but they can also observe and keep them safe there at the emergency rooms. And so for those of you listening, if this is just kind of piquing your interest or you're going, man, I need more help. Again, please check out our family care learning training, suicidality in children and teens. I believe there should be a link below. Jenny, thank you so much for sharing this such important information. Yeah. And that's what I love about Christian Family Care. We're here to support you in strengthening your family. And so also, if you're interested in counseling services, please click on the link below for Arizona Family Counseling, and we would love to help you there. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.